For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about faith and how important faith is in our lives. Heard a story that I thought was interesting of a young man in Europe. He was a talented tightrope walker. In fact, he was so accomplished that he would do daring feats of walking tightropes, and he would walk over buildings. They'd stretch the wire, and he'd walk across, and he amazed people and of his ability to walk tightropes. Then he got to where he would blindfold himself and walk across tightropes. And then he would blindfold himself and take a wheelbarrow, and then he would push that across. And his fame spread, and an American journalist found out about him and challenged him to do Niagara Falls. So they brought him over, and they stretched the tightrope from the American side to the Canadian side, and he does the tightrope. Now, is this a true story? I don't know. This is just a story that I heard. It may be true. But he went across, and then he come back across. And the American reporter said, "I didn't believe you could do that." So he blindfolds himself, and he does it again. And then he blindfolds himself, and he pushes the wheelbarrow back and forth, back and forth. When he got through, he looked at the reporter, and he says, "Now, do you believe I can do this?" He says, "Yes." He said, "Are you sure that you believe that I can do this?" He says, "Yes, I'm sure." He said, "Are you really, really, really sure that I can do this?" He says, "Yes, I'm really, really, really sure." He said, "Then get in the wheelbarrow." And it's kind of like that way with faith. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, I believe in God. I believe in God. Oh, yeah, I really believe in God." Well, get in the wheelbarrow. Get into a relationship with God. Get into a living relationship with God. Begin this journey of faith. And we're going to look at some stories in the Bible. In fact, we're going to take up 2 or 3 weeks, and we're going to talk about Abraham. Because let me just give you the scripture. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 16, says this, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Now, if you go to Hebrews 11 and you look at God's Hall of Fame of Faith, the first one that it talks about is Abel. The second one that it talks about is Enoch. The third one that it talks about is Noah. But the fourth one that it talks about is Abraham. In fact, it talks about Abraham 2 or 3 times in that chapter. Abraham is very, very vital because we don't have a lot of insight into the faith of Abel. We know that he gave an offering to God. He gave of his first fruits. He gave his best to God. He gave it by faith. He did it according to what God had said. And God recognized that and said that he was faithful. He was a man of faith. And we know that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And we know how that Noah, the Bible says that by faith he was moved with fear and built an ark. See, up to that time, evidently, it hadn't even rained in the earth yet. And God told him it was going to rain, and by God's word, he obeyed God and did what God said. But we have more insight into the life of faith through Abraham, and the Bible calls him basically the father of faith. He is the one that we really see some insight into his life and the development of his faith. Can I just say, we have tried to make a formula out of faith, and it's not really a formula. Faith is very much an individual thing, how that God works in a person's life. But let me say this as we start. Faith does not begin with us. Faith begins with God. Faith begins with God. And faith is based on who he is, what he's like, what his character is about. And it's us learning to respond to God. See, faith is our response to God. Or we could say faith might be our lack of response to God. Or lack of faith could be lack of response to God. So our faith life is individual to us. Now, there are certain principles that we'll look at that are common. But we want to package everything up and say, okay, number one, number two, number three, number four. And that don't always fit everybody. So that's why I wanted us to go to the Bible, the B-I-B-I-L-E, as my son used to say, the B-I-B-I-L-E. That's the book for me. I want us to go to the Bible and look at some examples of faith and how God dealt with individuals. And we see that their faith develops. Not only do we see their successes, but we also see their failure. Somehow we have the idea that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were just stellar people. That they always did the right thing all the time. No, they did not. They're just like us. Sometimes they messed up. Sometimes they got in fear. Sometimes they got into a situation where they did the total opposite of what they were supposed to do. But you know the neat thing, and this is something that you need to know, that did not stop God. God did not divorce them. God did not put them away. God continued to work in their life, and God worked around. He did a workaround. You know, there's a lot of times that God has to do a workaround in our lives to get us to our destination. Because we don't always cooperate, do we? Maybe you do, but I don't always cooperate. Sometimes we can really, really be hard-headed. That's a good, well, you don't want to say amen about that, do you? But a little bit about Abram, who will later become Abraham. We go back to the flood. Noah, he had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, okay? These are the ones who came through the flood with their families. And the descendants of the earth begin to descend out of them, okay? There were three lines, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. It is believed that Ham went to Africa, that Shem went to Asia, and that Japheth went to Europe. And that they, as they were dispersed, you know, we go all the way back to the, remember the Tower of Babel? This is after the flood. There's the dispersion throughout the lands. Well, they believed that these descendants went to this different places. Now, Abram is a descendant of Shem. And they go to probably Asia. And they settle in a place, his father settled in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. Now, this was somewhere in Mesopotamia, which is modern-day Iran, Iraq, Syria, somewhere in that place. We know that as we read the scripture that Abram's father name was T-E-R-A-H, Terah. And he left Ur of the Chaldees, and he took his sons with him. And they settled in a land, and he named a city after his son that had died. Okay? And then there, Abram's father died. And God in chapter 12 of Genesis, and we're going to look at this, and we're going to just kind of work our way through this and kind of unpack this. And talk about some of these things. We're not going to be in any hurry to get through this. But in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram." He had said to Abram. He had said something to him. Can I just tell you, there is no Bible during this time. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can I just tell you, They didn't have the New Testament. That was thousands of years before the New Testament. Guess what? They didn't have the Old Testament. This is the story that makes up the Old Testament. There was no Bible. There was no point of reference. There was no written down point of reference for faith to come to. So what did God have to do? He had to speak to them. He had to reveal something to them. You know what we believe about the Bible? That it is God's revelation to us. Honestly, we don't know how blessed we are to have our Bible. A book that we have a tendency to take so much for granted. Hopefully, you're in the last three quarters of your reading program for this year, of reading the Bible through. Hopefully that you are being faithful. I know a lot of people in this church have started Bible reading programs, and I encourage you to do that. We haven't talked about that in a while, but be faithful. Be committed to your Bible reading. Listen, it's such a gift. It's such a gift to us. The Word of God is such a gift. And you know, there are cultures that do not have a Bible. They do not have the Word of God. They do not have a revelation. They have bits and pieces of things that people have said. They cannot open a Bible like we can. We're so blessed today. We have Bibles. We have commentaries. We have different translations. We have Google, that we can Google stuff and we can research and find out stuff. It's a wonderful day for the believers to be alive. We have so much at our disposal, and we have the tendency to take it so much for granted. Selah, pause and think on that a minute. We do. We just take it for granted, and we should not. We should not. So, Abram did not have a Bible. God spoke to him. God gave him a revelation. Again, the scripture is a revelation. He did not have a written word, but he had a spoken word that God spoke to him and began to say some things to him that he needed to hear. God always speaks to us. You know, when you read your Bible, can I just tell you? I mean, have you ever read your Bible and something jumps out at you? That's God saying something to you that you need to hear at that moment. It doesn't always seem pleasant when you read that and it jumps out at you. Sometimes it convicts you. Sometimes it instructs you. Sometimes it rebukes you. You know why it does that? Because that's what you need at that moment in your life. We all need to be instructed. We all need to be corrected. We all need to be rebuked by God's Word. How else are we going to grow? You're not. The Bible is given to us for that reason. And to instruct us, to correct us, to rebuke us. It is given, and all of it is for our benefit. God says to us, at any point in our life, what we need for that moment. Now, there's some things that God says later to Abram. If he would have said them to him right then, it would have not benefited him. Why? Because there were things that he needed to do in Abram's life before he could ultimately get him to the point that he needed to be. And that's the way it is with us. That's why it starts with a relationship with God. God does not show you the whole picture when you get saved. If God showed you the whole picture when you got saved, some of you, it would scare you. It would have scared me. I was bashful and backward. And if God said, okay, I'm saving you and you're going to preach and you're going to pastor a church of about 500 or 600. I said, I'll just go to hell. I'm not doing that. I wasn't ready for it. See, God meets you where you are. Listen, somebody needs to hear this. Don't ever despise small beginnings. Don't ever despise where you are. Don't ever compare yourself to where somebody else is. Don't ever allow somebody to put you down for where you are spiritually in your life. You may be a beginner. You may be seasoned. Can I just tell you that when God authors our faith, He does not quit there because He wants to go on and to perfect our faith. See, He didn't put faith in you for you to get crusty and old and a fossil. And that's what happens to a lot of us who have been in Christ for a long time. We crystallize and we make excuses. Your faith ought to grow until the day that you die. Your faith ought to be vibrant. Your faith ought to be, you ought to be excited about the things of God. As long as you draw breath, you should be excited. You should be in a living, growing relationship with God. In the book of Revelation, he knocked on a church's door. He knocked on a church's door. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This was not unbelievers. This was a church. "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door." See, a lot of us have shut the door. We got all of God that we think we need. We're very comfortable with our life. We've been blessed. We know more than we obey. And we have shut the door on God. I'm talking to us now. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to some of you who have been in Christ for a long time. Open the door. He says, "If you'll open the door, I'll come in and I will sup with you." In other words, he says, "I'll have fellowship with you and you with me." See, there are things that he wants to share in your life, no matter where you are in your journey. No matter where you are in your journey, he wants to fellowship with you. You don't ever outgrow God. It's quiet. This is true. So he comes to Abram. And the Lord, it said, the Lord had said to Abram. Now notice what he says to him. Notice where his need is. Because God is going to speak something into his life that Abram is going to need to do. See, we have to respond to the Word of God. Our response to the Word of God is our faith, or our lack of faith. Can I just say, and I can because I got the microphone, faith is not a private matter. I never will forget, a few years ago, a politician was asked about if he was a believer. And he says, "My faith is private. I just decided right then I'm not voting for him because he's hiding something. I can't be vocal about my faith." Your faith is the way that you live your life. Your faith is not what you say. Your faith is what you live out. And if you say my faith is private, you know what that tells me? You probably don't have much faith. And I'm definitely not going to vote for you because I don't know what you stand for. I don't know where you're at. Why? Because that's private. No, that's not private. If you're going to serve your country, you can't be private. You need to be open. That's political as I'm going to get today. So your faith is not a private thing. Your faith is the way you live your life. Or your unbelief is the way that you live your life. But now, boy, somebody needs something because I hadn't intended to say some of this stuff. But that's okay. What did the Lord say to Abram? "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house." Now, why did he say that? because he was wanting to do something significant in his life, and there was a hindrance. Sometimes there are hindrances that keep us from going on with God. Now, we don't have any insight to what Terah had taught his kids about God. We don't know. He could have been an idol worshiper. I mean, there are several generations away from the flood and the Tower of Babel. And, you know, there's a couple of hundred years in there. And we don't know, because usually when there's no revelation, guess what happens? People begin to stray. When people get out of the Word, you know what they do? They begin to stray. When people get out of church, you know what they do? They begin to stray. They begin to stray. We have to have the presence of God in our lives. We have to have the Word of God in our lives. We have to have accountability in our lives. So he says, I need to separate. Here's a good word, because this is something that happens in all of our lives. Separation. When you come to Christ, there is a separation that takes place. There are things that God needs to separate out of your life. I remember when I first became a Christian, I had to get away from my friends. You know why? They weren't good for me. They were not good for me. Oh yeah, I'm going to witness to my friends. No, you're not strong enough yet. You're not strong enough yet. That they have too much pull. They have too much influence in your life. Some people, when they come to Christ, they have to get away from their family. Why? Because it drags them down and it keeps them from going where God needs them to be. God had a destination in mind for Abraham. And let me just tell you what the destination is. He was going to be the pipeline for the Messiah. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty big. But in order to bring this about, God had to do a work in his life that began with separation. In fact, we're going to see several stages of separation that God began to work in Abraham. And we'll go through this too in our lives, that God, he'll begin to speak to us and he'll say, okay, you don't need to be in this relationship. You don't need to be in this place. You need to be here. You need to go to a place that I show you. But you're going to have to cut ties with certain things in your life. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. You know what? He didn't tell him where it was at. Because it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And this is the thing about faith that you need to understand. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, part of faith is placing my life into the care of God, trusting him because he is faithful, that he can lead, guide, open doors, close doors, and bring me into the place that he has destined me to be. But he doesn't always show us what that is up front. You don't get to see the whole picture. It's an unfolding event. It's a lifetime event. It's a lifetime event. And he told him some things. He told him some things for him to anchor his heart to. Now, God will tell you some things to anchor your heart to. You know why we have to have things to anchor our heart to? Because the circumstances in life many times will be contrary to what God said. I mean, the circumstances will be contrary to what God has promised us. It doesn't just fall into place as you go. There's hindrances out there. There are temptations out there. There are things that the enemy, there's traps that the enemy lays in our lives out there. And listen, we have to continually go back to what God has promised. We need to know the promises of God. Amen? I'm preaching better than you're shouting today. But that's all right. Verse 2, here's what he said. Gosh. I will make you a great nation. Now notice the separation. He's separating from his country or his nation, from his family, and from his father's house. There was an influence there that would not take him to where he needed to be. Then he says, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, can I just tell you that's messianic prophecy there that God is pumping into the earth? How through Abraham will all of the families of the earth be blessed? Not just the descendants of Abraham, his natural descendants, but it says all of the families of the earth will be blessed. All nations will be blessed because of Abraham. Why? Because through him, Messiah is coming. Through him, Jesus is coming. And Jesus, we know what he did, don't we? And how are we blessed? How are we blessed? Because of Abraham's faith. Can we have faith like Abraham? We can have, it says that we have the faith of Abraham. But notice what is taking place here. God is separating him from something to bring him to something. And God will separate you from things to bring you into things that he has for you. And he has this blessing. He'll bless you. He'll bless you. To Abraham, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Did you know that this blessing is still good for today? In the natural, where the nation of Israel is concerned? You know, Israel doesn't accept Messiah. But there's some Abrahamic blessings here that go all the way back to Abraham that God still honors today. This is why we say all the time, United States needs to be allies with Israel. Because God says, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Now, that's not political, guys. That's biblical. That's biblical. We need to bless Israel. We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Why? Because we want to be in that, we want to be in that situation where we're blessed as we bless them. Amen. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Do you think it was easy? Do you think it was easy leaving his family, his nation? I mean, if God spoke to you, say, get away from your country, get away from your family, get away from your father's house. It wouldn't be easy. But by faith, he obeyed. You know what he did? He got in the wheelbarrow. I said he got in the wheelbarrow. A lot of people like to talk the talk, but they don't get in the wheelbarrow. He got into a relationship with God. Now let me read some more verses. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now we're going to see another separation that's going to take place. Lot went with him. Down the road, guess what? Lot has to be separated from Abram. He had to be separated. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all of their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So when he came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moriah, and the Canaanites were then in the land. It was not an uninhabited land. It was not a friendly land. There were enemies in the land. Then the Lord appeared. See, notice the sequence here. God begins to do a what? He does a separation. Why? Because he's doing a work in the heart of Abram. And it's a faith walk. God works in us when we obey his word. When we respond to his word in faith, it opens the door for God to do a continual work in our lives. See, the Bible says, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, you got to cooperate with that. You can't shut the door on it. Okay. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. He saw what he hadn't seen when he started out in faith. See, you got to walk the walk of faith. You have to walk it until it becomes sight. He had to fight the good fight till faith became sight. And that's what we have to do. You know, we've got all kinds of promises. You know, there's a promise of a land that is fairer than day. There's a promise of eternity. There's promises that we have not laid eyes on yet. And yet we believe that we shall see those things. And as we believe that, guess what? Eventually, we shall see that. You got loved ones. We've got loved ones that were with us that are gone there, and they've already seen it. Their faith has become sight. And someday our faith will become sight. See, this is not just, okay, I got saved here, okay, and God's going to come get me here. No, there's a whole bunch of things in between that God's wanting to do in your life to bring you to that point where your life is significant. Where your life is significant. But it's step by step by step by step. He said, I'll give you this land. And there, how did he respond? And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. He was walking through the land that God had promised him. See, he didn't just start with an initial faith thing. It was a faith walk the whole way. He started a journey and he continued the journey. And we're going to see next week some other things in his faith development where he is able to... He does some amazing things, and it opens the door for God to do amazing things. The end result being what? 2,000 years ago, a virgin brought forth a son who is of the seed of Abraham, who is the Savior of the world. You know what? I don't think Abram ever saw that. He might have got a glimpse of it, but he didn't fully understand that. You know, that's a good thing that we need to say. That you don't have to see everything. And you don't have to see everything clearly in your faith walk. We just have to keep walking by faith. Keep walking by what God has said. Keep walking by what God has promised. Okay, we're going to unattach right there, and we're going to take up right there next week. Praise God. You know, the Bible says, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. I'm going to ask our prayer team if they would come. We got time to, if you need prayer for anything, I mean, faith message, hey, God meet our needs, let's go for that. But, you may be here today and you may not have begun the walk of faith. You may not have accepted Christ as Savior. That's where faith begins. For by grace are you saved through faith. So you hear the word and you respond to it and God's grace goes out to you. And he enters into a relationship with you, not based on you, but based on his love for you and his grace that he has extended towards you. So if you're here today and you need to make Jesus Lord of your life, either one of these will be tickled to pray with you here today. So let's bow our heads and open our hearts. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for faith. Thank you that you're someone that we can have faith in because you're true, you're faithful, your character never changes, you're always the same. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, come.